The gospel lesson for this Christmas Eve begins with the words, "A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." The rule of Caesar, the rule of government, is evident in this text, as even the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph, are obligated to obey the laws of the land while living in the mighty Roman Empire. Caesar has his kingdom, and God permits him to rule by laws and order, penalty and force. But there is another king in this text, and he doesn't come with pomp and praise, human armies and worldly adoration, but the King of Glory, the true ruler of creation, the one bearing the name Jesus, is born of a virgin. And not even in his own hometown, but in Bethlehem, the city of David. And Mary, the mother of God, is deprived of midwives, warm water, and a comfortable bed as she is denied room in the inn. Already in this text, there is no room for Christ in this world. Even before his birth, the innkeeper foreshadows the world's rejection of God as Jesus' mother is consigned to give birth in a dirty stable. And her newborn son's bed? A filthy, disgusting feed trough for animals. No room in the inn. No room for Jesus, the King of Glory, who already is at odds with the world and her kingdoms. The account of Christ and his birth reveal the only begotten Son of God having humble origins and lowly beginnings. He is a king, but from his onset of life here on earth, it's clear the kingdom of Christ is unlike other kingdoms of the world, and he did not come to overthrow our Caesar, however wicked he may or may not be. But his is a different kingdom, wherein his subjects live forgiven, free from the curse of sin, and heirs to life everlasting. And that, my friends, is something earthly kingdoms cannot give. We hear it from the angel's lips. The very first sermon preached following the birth of our Lord, he is called a Savior, Christ the Lord. Now that word, Lord, it denotes majesty and ruler, master and king. It's a small but mighty word, reminding us of who the real king is in this text. Caesar can take his census and exercise his allotted power, but in the end his flower fades, and he is reduced to ashes. Death catches him as it does the poor beggar. But the term Lord, it's ascribed to Jesus, our God and our King, the everlasting to everlasting, Alpha and Omega, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin. And this infant is a Savior. It's of utmost importance that we see Jesus in this light. Not as an angry taskmaster here to burden and crush us with more laws that we cannot bear, but as an infant, he is called Savior. At his birth, Christ is the Savior of mankind, sent on a mission to redeem creation from sin and reconcile humanity with God. Even though it is the festive Christmas season, one replete with Christmas songs played over and over again, and all those classical feel-good movies with predictable plots and fairy tale endings. You know the kind. None of that blinds us to the reality that we live in a harsh world, and we do so while dealing with our own sins and our own demons that don't take a break for the holidays. The world makes for a desperate picture. And any honest assessment of ourselves has to include our own sins and our own faults, towards humanity and against God. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Such is the fate of every sinner sick with sin. And so we can only cry out, Lord, have mercy, as we beg on our God to rescue us from this bondage of sin and death. But this word of God that we have heard this evening is the reason we can be cheerful and so full of joy this Christmas season, because this word of God proclaims that a Savior has been born to us, and He is Christ the Lord. The world finds no place for Jesus exhibited in this text when our Lord is pushed away from the inn and born in a stable. But in heaven it's a different story. The heavenly host, the armies of God, they praise this child before lowly shepherds in the night. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is well pleased. Even the angels of heaven praise Christ, the everlasting Son of the living God. They recognize their King, even as an infant in swaddling clothing, crying and looking up to His Father and His Mother while ruling the world. The work of salvation for humanity begins and will be finished by this Son of God, who is Christ the Lord. Let's apply this text to our lives. This Christmas season, you may find that you are still depressed, maybe anxious, worried about something, or afraid. Temptations are ongoing, maybe to take another drink, look at another graphic image, or leave your marriage for greener grass. We pray to God to release us from these temptations. We do in the Lord's Prayer when we say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yet, how many times have you been there where, despite your heartfelt prayer, you succumb to your sin and you feel your guilt? At that point, the prospect of standing before our holy Lord and mighty King is a frightening one indeed. Who wants to stand before God while knowing they're sinful and impure? Like the shepherds who cowered in fear at the glory of God that suddenly shone around them at the presence of the angel of the Lord, our inclination is to be afraid of God when we recognize the true fact that our sins have caused a breach between us and Him, and the only just punishment is death. But when the angel of the Lord says to the shepherds, do not be afraid, He says that because this servant of God did not come to smite and destroy, but bring good tidings of joy centered on the birth and work of Jesus Christ. Likewise, the reason for your joy is Christ, who was born ultimately to save sinners. The words, do not be afraid, they belong to you because of Christ our Lord, by whom our wretched sins are put away, not counted against us, and we are declared innocent and heirs to His kingdom. And in this kingdom of God, all the saints, past, present, and future, reside. So if this is your first season without a loved one, and the tears are flowing a little more than usual, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. All the saints who die in Christ, you will see them again. Your God will make sure of it. For now, all of you, bask in God's peace, a peace that is yours by faith in Christ alone. Leave here forgiven on account of this child born of Mary in a stable and placed in a manger. Calm yourselves. Rest. And breathe easy, knowing the gospel, the good tidings of joy, whereby we find the comfort in knowing our great sins and guilt, it is forgiven by He who died bearing our sins, paying for our sins, and bringing us into communion with Himself, all of which is the reason we have joy and cheer true peace with God. A Savior has been born. A Savior has come. And for this reason, and this reason alone, we rejoice as Christmas season and every day after. Merry Christmas. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ from now until life everlasting. Amen.